My name is Lawrence Allen.
I'm Ronald Shaw.
I'm Rahul Vora.
And this is Bad Time Radio.
So welcome to another episode of Bad Time Radio, and it was Raul's turn to pick, and he picked a movie that I did not know exist called Night Creature. Raul, why did you select this 1978 movie about a man falling afoul of a leopard?
Well, as you know, I love the 70s, and I love leopards. The combination is obviously magical, and also this movie appeared on some lists of terrible movies that I found in my research. So yeah,
I did not realize that you love leopards or the 70s.
Yeah, this is the first time you've ever mentioned either thing.
It would love leopards.
I mean, I feel like you saw a leopard.
Imagine like a monster that lives in the trees that comes down and slashes you open and then drags you back up into the trees. That's just like great, you know? Like that's my thing. It's like my jam.
Do leopards do that?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know that much about leopards, but based on this movie, leopards mostly just kind of wander around the jungle looking at things and then very occasionally sort of jump on someone like they're trying to give them a hug, but the person screams.
And they also don't really eat them.
Yeah.
They just kind of kill and then run away.
Well, leopards are vegetarian, so that checks out.
That does check out.
It's weird because they're vegetarian, but they also kill for the love of killing.
It's pure, actually.
Their morality dictates that murder is right. It's not about getting food.
Yeah, so they're lawful evil, I want to say.
I don't think a lawful evil person would commit that much murder because it's against the law.
What if the law dictates that they have to murder?
Oh, right. That, of course, as a leopard, they only have to follow the law of the jungle, which says just go apeshit on any person you see.
Yeah. So I think you're right. You know what? The judge convenes.
Anyways, you guys want to roll for some fucking summaries?
Yeah.
Except I refuse to summarize this, but you can still put me in.
What?
I'll just do a really terrible job.
So we've got the option of Ronald doing it, but he's going to sabotage.
I'm going to sabotage the shit out of this
episode. If I was a mathematician, I would just have a seizure from what you said. Because it made no sense.
Well, it didn't really have anything to do with math, so I don't really know what that has to do with
your statement. It's illogical, that's why. And mathematicians are bound by the rules of logic. Or they die.
They're like those guys who are like, I can only tell the truth and my friend here can only tell a lie.
Yep, that's what mathematicians are like. They're not just guys who get horny for numbers, question mark. I honestly don't know what a mathematician does. It seems like we've already found all the numbers and like how to do everything you'd want to do with the numbers, so I don't get what the point is.
I mean,
anyways,
haven't you heard of that, the gang, MS-13? MS is mathematicians.
Ah, shit.
Oh. Yeah, they just go around and
they throw protractors at people.
Yeah, I've got all these equations that they use to make really excellent cocaine.
Di-32s.
Anyways, let's fucking roll for the summary. Jesus Christ. Okay, you guys all seeing it?
Yes.
You're lying, but whatever. I don't care.
He's hovering over the. I'm in.
Ah, shit! It's me. Okay.
Excellent. It's not me.
Because it's a 3, and I'm 3 to 4. So. Great. Now, I'm going to level with you guys. I spent a lot of this movie on my phone because this movie sucks. But I also took a really lot of notes. So we'll see how that sort of levels out.
Sometimes I feel like taking a lot of notes is a bad thing because it's like hard to go through them afterwards. Have you had that experience? You know, like sometimes it's better to just have like big bullet points that you can dive into. I don't know. Well, this is not related to the movie, but
most of us don't have dementia, so it's not as much of a problem for us.
Yeah, whereas I have, of course, destroyed my memory with binge drinking and being on Twitter all the time, so I need the notes.
Yeah, anyways, but if you could have dementia and be happy all the time, would it be worth it?
Ooh, good question.
Yeah.
I don't think so, but then I've never been happy, so I don't know how much I value it.
Yeah, what would it not even feel like?
Anyways, wait.
Oh, yeah, brief.
Would you recommend the movie? This? No, it's horrible. Don't watch this. And in fact, I want to say, Raul, So I'm a Christian, and one of the things that I believe very deeply about Christianity is that we are required to forgive other people when they wrong us, because that's what God does to us. So I just want to say that although it took some time, I no longer wish you for bad things to happen to you because you made me watch this movie.
Thank you, man. That means a lot.
That's really good of you.
For our podcast where we review terrible things.
Anyways,
I'll go next. You know, this is a podcast where we review terrible things. And I just want to say that this is on a completely different level than literally anything that we've ever watched on this before or even listened to. It's god awful. I don't recommend anyone watch it. It's not worth your time. It's basically one of the worst movies I've ever seen. And like, it's not funny either. It's just a huge waste of an hour and 20 minutes. The only good thing I will say about it is that it's only an hour and 20 minutes long. At least it wasn't a 2-hour movie with this content, but
you feel every fucking minute of those hour and 20 though. Like,
it feels like a 2-hour movie, but I can't imagine if it had a 2-hour runtime, how long it would feel.
Yeah. So anyways, Raul, what did you make of this thing you made us watch?
I do not recommend this movie. It was weirdly bad.
Wait, you found this on a list of the worst movies ever made, and then you're like, it's weird how bad that was.
I mean, it's like it just didn't have any redeeming qualities. Like, I just keep going back to Iron Mask, which was, like, so horrible. I could say, honestly, that I think the plot of this movie, if it was written down, might be better than Iron Mask's.
Yeah, you'd look at it and you'd be like, that's a movie. I can see, you know, the scenes you'd have, all that, how you do
exactly.
It.
It's not like all over the place. But there's just nothing redeeming about this. Like, Iron Mask still had like terrible moments that were still funny despite themselves.
And it had some reasonably good kung fu too, you know?
Iron Mask had a little bit of heart. This movie did not.
Yeah.
Oh, the leopard had heart. You see that acting? Did you hear his roars?
There the totally is. Barely even interacted with the rest of the cast.
Yeah. So anyways, we watched this on Amazon Prime. Don't worry, listener. I bought it using money I got, or a gift card I got from donating blood, so I didn't actually give Jeff Bezos any money. So I'm here. These other two fucks probably aren't, but I am. So that's good.
Shit. Wait, you still did give... Oh, the donation place gave Jeff Bezos money.
Yeah, which, you know, I gave them blood. You're not pinning me down.
You know what? Technically, I used money that I got from my job, and so they paid him, not me.
You know, technically, all U.S. Currency is fiat of the U.S. government, so I was just giving the government's money to Jeff Bezos.
Oh, there you go. We're all pure.
Yep, nothing we do can ever have any negative moral implications. We are as pure as the driven snow and as murderous as the jackdaws of old. I don't know what a jackdaw is, by the way.
It's like a bird, right?
Fuck. I hope it's a murderous one.
I don't think it's... I think it's like a really cute little bird.
Shit.
And it goes like... Jack.
To be fair to us, I don't think that this movie's available in any other form. Maybe you could buy a rare copy of it. Maybe. I kind of doubt that it's even in print.
I bet it came out in VHS at some point, because what I'm driving at is Amazon Prime is kind of notorious for like finding old shitty movies, really bad prints of them, then digitizing them poorly and dumping them on there for anyone who wants them. And this is a prime example of that. The video quality on it is definitely sub 480p, and I'm actually kind of wondering how they got to it. I legit think they might have like gotten an old worn down VPN or VHS and ripped that, because that's the only way I can think you could end up with a picture quality this poor. Everything looks muddy and horrible and extremely, extremely pixelated, to the point where there are a lot of like suspense shots of like the leopard or something, you think, and you legit cannot make out like what is even supposed to be on the screen.
I will also say though that regardless of the rip, like, a bunch of the shots in this are super overexposed, clearly because they were filming at night and didn't have proper lighting. And so, like, they overexposed it and it just looks like crap. Like, it helps you kind of see what's there, but I mean, the film does not look good at all in any way, shape, or form. Probably only made it worse from the bad rip, but
woof. Yeah. So anyways, just when we're describing these things to you, occasionally we're going to describe something where you're like, I bet that looked kind of cool. You know, the jungles of Thailand and a ruined Buddhist temple. Oh shit, Raul's just discovered that there's a Daily Motion copy of this that we could have watched.
I'm wondering if it's just like totally free now, because
like
there
it's
all
somehow in the public domain.
Yeah, maybe it's just so shitty it just went automatically public domain.
Yeah. So
it might be
anyway,
uploaded illegally.
Yeah, it's Daily Motion. There aren't any fucking rules. Anyways, so it starts off with a narrator, Donald Pleasance, walking through the jungle while the narrator tells you a bunch of stuff. Donald Pleasance in this is apparently a crazy guy who has been a war correspondent, a test pilot, a professional race car driver, a journalist, and a big game hunter. I assume a war correspondent for the journalism. And he has decided to take time out from his busy schedule of renovating Buddhist temples, which question mark why that falls to him, but whatever, to go hunt this leopard that has been terrorizing the jungles of Thailand. And apparently it's gotten to the point where it's just killing for the sake of killing, not actually eating its corpses, and the locals think that it's supernatural, which the film will occasionally make very, very vague feints at. But yeah, this isn't a movie about a magic leopard. I wish it was.
They say that it goes from village to village just slaughtering, and they need someone to take care of it, I guess.
Yeah.
And their plan seems to be going into the jungle, splitting up, and then just looking around, as far as we can see.
Yeah, they don't seem to be setting out bait, or I think the way you're supposed to hunt big cats, based on this one book I read, is essentially you set up some bait and then you hide up in a tree for a very long period of time, and eventually they show up. But they don't do that here.
I mean, those jungle cats jump around the trees, don't they?
This was a guy hunting a lion, so maybe the principles are different.
Yeah, from what I understand, that is the danger of hunting a jaguar, is like you look out from a tree for him, but like they can also sneak up on you. Jaguars, I think, are much scarier than leopards, I think.
I thought they were. I don't know. I'm not a big cat.
I thought leopards
expert.
Were the worst. Cause
maybe,
they,
maybe
like,
it is. Maybe
they're like
maybe
super. They're like starting fights. From what I understand.
No, I think tigers have to be the worst because, you know, they're like 10 feet long.
Yeah, they don't climb trees and stuff.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. There's no big cat that you really want to tangle with aside from a bobcat, which I'm not sure counts as a big cat. Anyway,
I could take a bobcat.
I have a big fat house cat that he's pretty fun to wrestle around with.
You wrestle with your cat?
Sometimes.
What? And he's just cool with that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not very... It's not like I'm hurting him.
You, like, put him in a Nelson?
It's kind of like... It's more like a hug.
Oh, you're just snuggling with your cat. And you're it wrestling for some
reason. Sometimes he playfully tries to escape.
I think you're just hugging your cat when he doesn't want to be hugged, Ronald.
Well, when I let him go, then he like walks away, but then he comes back so that I'll do it again.
Yeah. So anyways, Donald Pleasance is just walking around a jungle, and then we cut to shots of a leopard, and they're trying to suggest that Donald Pleasance and the leopard are in the same jungle, but they are not. And eventually, obviously, they do eventually have the leopard interacting with some people, but like
for a good 10 minutes of this movie, I kind of assumed that they were using stock footage of the leopard, and they didn't have one, because every interaction between human and leopard was just the camera was the leopard, and it would like walk at, you know, people sometimes at eye level, which made no sense because it's like, is the leopard on its back legs? And when you see the leopard, it's pretty small. So it's really shoddy work. I mean, it is just awful.
But also, something I thought that was hilarious was they reused some of the same cat walking footage.
Yeah. They used it throughout the whole movie.
Look, leopards are expensive, guys. But so anyways, that they're cutting between the leopard just kind of ambling around, and then Donald Pleasance looks very scared, and a camera just kind of like charges into him and knocks him down, and you're supposed to think it's the leopard. And Donald Pleasance will later claim that this is the only time in his life he's felt fear. But some other guys show up and scare the leopard off.
Which is,
and yeah,
it's an incredibly stupid line, because it's like, that's the only time is when a cat jumped on you? Like, you've never been in a life-threatening situation before? What about when
you're little, you know?
Yeah.
Even if you're like a super ballsy, like brave dude, ice water in your veins, face down death without a thinking guy, like when you're a kid, you were probably scared of monsters under your bed and shit.
But like, I could understand the line if it was something you don't understand, because like plenty of people can face death and not be afraid, right? Like, that's fine. But this cat is just a cat. And when he went out hunting for it, he had to expect this thing could, you know, potentially get me. Instead of me getting it. So it's not exactly a shock that it might jump on him. I mean, he was woefully unprepared. So it's like, how is this the only time you've ever been scared in your life? You're an idiot, dude. You've been scared plenty of times. You're just lying.
But maybe he just didn't recognize what fear was until the cat got him, you know? Because you'd feel like an instinctive fear from something like that.
I mean, based on the way the cat generally interacts with people, no, I wouldn't. I'd be like, aw, and give him some scritches.
But a real cat.
It's that old thing of like, okay, it wasn't scary in the movie, but if it had happened to you, you'd be freaked out, right? So it's frightening. So anyways, Donald Pleasance then goes home to his home. He's apparently got his own home on a private island with a bunch of Buddhist temples. Unclear how he sends all of his servants home, and then there's a very extended scene of him just limping around because the leopard hurt his leg and like making himself a drink and something. And I was trying to figure out why this is intensely boring to me, but there are like kind of similar scenes of like someone just walking around on their own doing something in like No Country for Old Men that are interesting to me. And I think the problem is that like all the interesting scenes in No Country for Old Men are like a character trying to solve a problem and you getting to see their thought processes of that, right? And that's kind of cool.
Go ahead, finish your thought.
Whereas this is just some asshole like limping around a little bit and making a drink.
Yeah, because I think in a good movie, when you do this, you're showing his life in the background. And like you're not paying attention to the character. You're seeing what's in the background and you're putting pieces together of like, okay, he was in the war. Okay, he's got kids, stuff like that. But in this movie, they just didn't show anything, or at least we couldn't see anything because of the shitty resolution. I don't think that there was anything to see, to be fair, but if there was, we couldn't see it. So yeah. It's just nothing. It's just watching him walk around with literally nothing else going on.
I get it could have also been interesting if it was like showing him having a fair amount of trouble getting around with his limp and like, oh my god, how's he going to deal with the fact that he's much less able-bodied than he used to be and all that. But nah, he's getting around okay, just slower. So it just sucks.
Yeah, and if this was a movie that was, like, just Donald Pleasance fighting a leopard the entire movie, like that Robert Redford movie where he goes out to sea, basically it's just about a guy, like, fighting against nature, that kind of scene would work. But they really kind of screw that whole thing up with, like, the whole B-plot of the other characters that come to the island.
Based on screen time, that other thing is the A-plot. It shouldn't be, but it is. So, anyways, Donald Pleasance puts a $10,000 bounty on the panther, so a bunch of guys go hunt it. Apparently the fact that it had murdered a bunch of people wasn't enough, but now that there's some money on the line, people are going and hunting it. And apparently the way Thai people hunt panthers or leopards or whatever the fuck, I'm going to get those confused a lot, listener, and I apologize in advance, but I'm not going to be able to fix it.
There is apparently black leopards are real.
Okay, I had no reason to think they weren't.
Oh, I thought that was the reason you were switching them.
No, I just fuck up. They look pretty similar. So anyways, the way the Thai people hunt like big cats is they go out in the jungle and bang drums and play what sounds like a bored kazoo. And this eventually drives the leopard out, where it kind of tries to snuggle with the dude for a while and the dude runs away. So the leopard chases after it like a large friendly dog until eventually they end up underneath a net. And I think the dude was okay, but you do actually get to see a dude interacting with a leopard for a little bit, which was something.
I'm guessing he's the handler.
Yeah,
because it's like the only time one of two times in the movie where the leopard is on screen with somebody else.
Yeah. And as in my notes, I say, I feel sorry for the leopard. It deserves better. And you know what? I think it does.
You're not wrong.
There are a fair number of like fun match cuts in this. They'll get better later on where they'll cut between Donald Pleasance looking haunted at the camera and the leopard looking haunted at the camera. And we get some in this scene. I read an online review trying to suggest that this was them trying to set up a psychic link between him and the leopard. I see no evidence of that, though.
Yeah, that's BS. I think the only thing that's showing is it's basically trying to be like, look how similar the leopard and Donald Pleasance are. They're both hunters, both apex predators of their own species, and now they're going to match up.
Yeah, both race car drivers.
Yeah.
That leopard was a test pilot in the Leopard Air Force.
Almost every movie tries to make it so that, like, I mean, this is a common thing in writing, but like almost every movie tries to like show a parallel between the hero and the villain. And in this case, it's the leopard and Donald Pleasance, but that's just not explored. It doesn't matter. Like, Donald Pleasance is just an idiot in this movie. And there's really nothing that, you know, where he like kind of understands the leopard at the end or something. No.
So then we cut to the scariest fucking thing in the movie, which is, of course, Texas Tom's terrific tours of Thailand, which I disliked because I, of course, despise Texas. And the idea of one escaping from America and running amok in a foreign country is horrifying to me.
As you pointed out, he may not be from Texas.
Yeah, it does sort of seem like he's speaking in a very exaggerated drawl in that scene, and then he drops it the instant he has to interact with anyone. So I guess if he's just pretending to be Texan, I mean, it's still bad, but it less like makes me want to throw things. So anyways, it's a tour bus where a guy goes around and tells a bunch of like dumbass Americans, a bunch of down home folksy, like, jokes about various things in Thailand. And we get some footage of Thailand that might've been nice at one point, but is not in this transfer. And then we come back to the hotel and we cut to two women, one of whom is played by, Nancy Kwan, who I guess you might actually have heard of. And the other one is played by, I think she played the mother in Heathers. If that helps you any, probably not. And then a little girl, and the little girl is talking about how her mother drank too much on the airplane. And Nancy Kwan is sort of like consoling her. And this part is very boring. A guy named Ross, who is apparently also Texas Tom, gets off the bus and starts like leading them around. The drunk lady decides to drink some more so she'll feel better. And Nancy Kwan at one point says this very strange line. The ultimate relationship between them is that Donald Pleasance is both their fathers, but by different mothers. And so Nancy Kwan says, "How lucky we are that Grandpa Axel is still alive. Know what I mean?" Which, baffling to me, because it's like, is she trying to say that she's not lucky that he's alive, or whatever?
Yeah, what would she mean there?
Yeah, I have no idea. I missed that.
The fact that she says, "Know what I mean," implies that there's some hidden meaning there. But then the thing she said was not something that should have a hidden meaning when you're saying it to like a 5-year-old kid. She's like, "We're so lucky the plan to murder Uncle Axel for his insurance money didn't go through."
Maybe she's just suggesting that Uncle Axel's terrible.
I mean, he is, but I don't know if you'd tell your 5-year-old that. Her niece, incidentally. I guess half niece. I don't know how the fuck that works. So
wait, the grandpa Axel, right? Okay. Just want to make sure I understood all the familial
relationships. This Peggy's grandpa.
Yeah, I don't really... Okay, so I understand how the two women know each other, and then the little girl is, you know, the woman who's not Nancy Kwan's kid. And then I guess Texas Ross is the woman's, like, old lover or something. I thought initially he was her husband and was just terrible. But later on, he talks about how he's not married, so I guess he's just someone he fucks whenever he's in Thailand.
I'm pretty sure he's her boyfriend.
Fair enough. But then
she asked him to go to Monte Carlo with him.
Yeah, but yeah, she's like jet setting around the world, and I kind of get the sense that she, like, wherever she goes, she like finds a dude to fuck, because this movie wants you to think she's really hot, and she's talking about being a fancy.
She says later she's like been through 4 divorces, so I have a feeling she's divorced right now. I feel like they also say that she's a single mother later.
Yeah,
because she got all jealous when he was talking to her sister. She's like, "Oh, I know how you treat friends," and gave him like a look, and so it seemed to me that she was. They were in a relationship.
Of some kind, just a casual thing. But you don't get, like, jealous when your casual friend might fuck your... Well, maybe if you're going to fuck your sister.
You do, a little bit.
I don't know. I've never been casually friends with a woman. So... No, I guess... And apparently she was... Well, never mind, I need to cut this. Because you guys...
Probably don't put that in the episode.
Yeah, and also, I think she's legit a billionaire, so she could actually fuck us up.
Really?
Well, yeah, we made fun of Elon Musk last episode.
Well, yeah, but Elon Musk will never listen to this.
Well, I didn't. For the record, it was Ronald and Lawrence.
It was mostly me. I legit was having to do some Googling afterwards to try to figure out if I'd committed libel or not.
Well, Ronald corrected you. It's slander.
Fair enough. So, anyways, back to the movie. There are many scenes of them fucking around in Thailand that do not matter. But eventually, the natives, Thai people, will bring Axel a panther. And he overacts a bit and stares at the panther while monologuing in his head. He's very angry that the panther made him scared. And now he's going to hunt the panther and either die or be killed by it. And neither one should bring back his masculinity. He also says that he's only going to have 9 bullets to do this, which I actually thought seemed like kind of a lot. It seems like it should either be 1 bullet or as many bullets as you want. 9 is a strange number for that. He says it's because the panther only has 9 lives or something. I don't fucking know.
Oh, he wants to make it a fair fight.
Yeah.
Gun versus cat.
And apparently also, like, he goes to the trouble of he has 9 bullets, and then he somehow gets rid of every other bullet he has on the island.
Yeah, I don't know how he did that. I mean, he only says that later. I don't think they show him doing that.
Yeah. So anyways, he frees the panther, and then he starts hunting it. He shoots his gun once for some reason. It doesn't hit the panther. And then the other guys go shopping. It's very boring.
Yeah, so yeah, Georgia and Leslie are walking down like some pier or some shit, and you got to get the impression that Georgia's like spoiled when she like buys a dress, like talks about a dress and blah blah blah. And then they have a little conversation there, and Georgia's like talking about Ross at this point. She's like, he's something of an animal or something. Or was that later?
I don't fucking know, Raul.
Yeah, the order of things is kind of weird. I will say that the movie tries to convince you that George is annoying and Leslie is, you know, a normal, regular person who's, you know, kind of exasperated by her sister. But Leslie comes off as just, like, kind of horrible. She's just, like, really rude the whole time. Her sister seems kind of enthused to have her there, and she just seems so unimpressed for whatever reason. It's like, dude, you didn't need to come. I'd be very annoyed.
These people are all just horrible in various ways.
To be fair,
is Russ that bad?
Yeah, I feel
he's fucking. He's either Texan or pretends to be Texan. He's the worst of the bunch.
I feel like outside of the whole Texas gimmick, Ross is actually like a pretty reasonable dude. He doesn't do anything too stupid. Wrong.
He doesn't go through on cucking the woman with her sister. I got to give him that.
Well, he kind of does, but we'll talk about that.
I don't think they actually fought. Well, I don't know.
Well, they didn't have time, but they totally would have.
I don't think they would have shown it on screen either way.
Well, they should have.
They should have.
Also, you'll know Russ from the movie Sex Roulette.
Yeah, everyone's seen that one.
Do you just know this? Like, how do you know this?
I looked it up on I looked him up on Letterboxd, and I'm not going to forget a movie called Sex Roulette.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't, but because, you know, actual pornography exists, so I don't have to watch softcore from the 90s.
Maybe it's not porn. Maybe it's like a really
How
good
could
movie.
It not be, Ronald? It's called Sex Roulette.
You remember when you'd walk through Blockbuster and you'd see all these weird goddamn movies and Coneheads and...
Coneheads isn't weird.
But there's always Coneheads, right? And then there's all the other movies.
It's like you can have two types of movies. You got Coneheads and you got everything else.
It really felt like that. It's like they always had Coneheads like at the front. Anyway.
Yeah, that's how Blockbuster Video was. Okay, I'm getting to the bottom of this. Preacher 1978. Let's fucking do this. So Ross Hagen, go on to his IMDb. He was in Red Dead Redemption.
There you go.
Huh.
People would probably know that better.
Huh. It appears that Sex Roulette does not have an IMDb page, at least under that name.
Maybe it was porn.
Is it hidden?
He was also in
Sexual Roulette. I found it. Sexual Roulette. Well, it does look like softcore from the poster.
Yeah, it would be if you read it that. It would be very strange if it wasn't, like, a lot of
I can't believe they got Ross Hagen for this.
And Peter Spellos? Oh, my God.
Ross Hagen, well-known actor from Night Creature.
You know, Wait, oh, okay, the plot on this actually sounds legit insane. When a young couple loses all their money at a casino, the husband performs certain favors in order to work the debt off, while his wife is unaware of the kinky arrangement. Very strange that it's the husband who has to do the favors.
Well, you know what? Maybe this will be later on the pod.
Yeah, probably not, though, because, again, softcore strikes me as very pointless. Now that you can actually see people fuck.
I'm reading about this movie, and there's a pretty big goof in it. When Jed and Sally are making love after winning 15K at roulette, the shots alternate between her wrist being tied with a rope sash and it not appearing at all. So I don't think we can watch this movie with such a big mistake. That's pretty
bad. That's a huge one.
If there's one thing I want in my 90s softcore, it's good continuity.
Yeah, what the fuck is this?
Well, it's probably really obvious.
So anyways, back to the movie. They're shopping on this weird kind of pier thing. Not interesting, but whatever. And the subtitles described the music as bouncy flute music. And I thought that was weird, so we're talking about it now. Bouncy flute music.
Like you're on a Bosu ball and you're doing flute stuff?
I guess. I don't know.
Like you're in band camp?
Did you watch this movie on a Bosu ball?
Yeah.
It'd be weird if the subtitles changed when you were on a bouncy ball, so it just started saying bouncily every time someone talked. You're like, how does it know? So anyways, they go to the Axel Donald Pleasant's private island, and it becomes very important later. They apparently did not inform him in any way that they were going to be arriving. Which strikes me as very rude. So he will later be intensely surprised when they show up, and them showing up will totally fuck up his weird masculine leopard hunting thing. So good work, everyone. Call before you go to someone's house, even if you like low-key kind of live there. If you're coming back from a trip, just call. Hey, I'm going to be here at X time. What's
up?
You hunting
a
leopard?
I don't think there's a phone in this house.
Well, whatever. They need some way of telling him what's happening.
I thought somebody said something about him not wanting to be disturbed for 2 weeks. I don't remember that.
He says that to the servants, but he apparently did not let his daughter in on that. Hmm. So a lot of dumb mistakes made. It turns out they have a dog named Socrates, and Ross keeps telling funny jokes about a business he's going to open that's going to be kind of like Disneyland. So he's like, hey, this island's pretty cool, but this layout would never work for tourists. They can't walk this, 100 feet. We'd have to make sure that the boat drops them off right at the hotel, all this shit. And it's like, why is this in the movie? It's not good. And then they wander around. The not Nancy Kwan assigns Nancy Kwan a room, which, if they have not previously discussed this with Axel, is insanely rude. Just like setting someone up in their guest room without like permission.
Pretty sure she lives there, too.
I don't think so. Anyways.
What's his daughter?
Yeah.
And they're both his daughters, so I think that they probably feel pretty comfortable and at home. Like, you would probably feel pretty okay going to your dad's house. I don't know. Maybe
with
not.
Some random guy you just met?
I think he knows him. Ross does.
Maybe Axel and Ross met through what's her name, Grace or whatever her name was,
Georgia, or maybe Ross and Georgia met through Axel. You think about that?
Hey, yep. Hey, sorry, I lost you guys for a little bit. Anything interesting?
No, we're talking about this shitty movie. So.
Fair enough. So no. Anyway, they walk around and talk a bit. Nancy Kwan is apparently a famous fashion photographer, and she's talking about her father, and she has the very strange line, if he hadn't been such a gifted writer, he might have been an assassin.
Yeah, very weird, because nothing in his history that they tell us at the start seems to have anything to do with writing, except for maybe the journalism part?
Yeah, and we later find out that the opening narration lied to us, and apparently he made most of his money writing books.
Huh. Maybe that was books based on his journalism? I don't know.
Yeah. So anyways, What's-Her-Face invites Ross to Monte Carlo. He's like, nah, I don't want to do that. I just want to keep being a dirtbag in Thailand, which does sound pretty fun, although the movie doesn't really show you the ways in which that would probably be fun.
Yeah, that would have been a much more interesting... You know, if we would have got to see more of Thailand rather than this tiny island where there's a leopard loose.
Yeah, I looked into it. Apparently, fun. Thailand in this period was actually under a brutal military dictatorship, so I don't know if fun is the right word, but definitely the things that are happening on the Thai mainland are significantly more interesting than the things that... Well, actually, that's the thing. This movie should be interesting. It just somehow contains things like people getting eaten by leopards that is not... But it's shot in such a way that you're bored by it, which is astonishing to me.
It's... I mean, like, let's be real. The amount of story in this movie is maybe 15 minutes, and it's spread out over an hour and 20. Yeah. There's really not a lot going on here.
Yeah. Ross, I do think, spends the rest of the movie shirtless, and he's not, like, super cut, but I still appreciate the effort. So good on you, Ross.
Yeah, good job, Ross.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's the Thai jungle. It's allowed.
Yeah, definitely.
You would get eaten alive by mosquitoes.
Well, we later see them putting on insect repellent, so I guess that might explain why he always looks kind of sweaty or greasy. He's just covered in insect repellent and totally naked or shirtless. Call it a Thai tuxedo. No shirt, covered in insect spray.
Ooh, you gotta love that sheen it gives you.
Yeah. So Ross and Nancy Kwan talk a little bit. Ross is like, I never knew a woman who didn't treat love like a security trap. Strange phrase. And Nancy Kwan's like, I never knew a man who didn't treat love like trying to trap a woman. And I don't know. It kind of seems like they might be about to do something because they both, the things they both describe as wanting from another person they're in love with, kind of line up, but
it's very vague.
But also, he's really shirtless and hot, and she's
seem to be into each other, but seems really rude because I definitely got the vibe that he is George's boyfriend. But
no, he's not. They were just involved a long time ago.
Why the heck would he be staying with them?
I don't know.
Because she wants to boyfriend him, but she can't pull it off.
Can you imagine, like, hey, I got this guy I want to fuck. I know what? I'll invite him to my dad's house. That only works in high school.
I'm gonna have him stay with us, and he's going to accept that for some reason, even though he's not into me?
Yeah, I don't know.
That sounds wrong.
These relationships are never really sketched out.
Look, relationships are hard work, all right? I think we all know that.
Yeah, so it's totally cool that he cheats on this girl with her sister.
Maybe. We don't know. We don't see it, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. I don't know.
They make out. They make out. That still counts.
Fair enough.
So as far as the movie's concerned, it counts.
Wait, counts as what?
Cheating.
What? How is it cheating? There is no established relationship between Georgia Ross.
I'm telling you, you do not invite somebody to stay with you at your father's place unless you're in a relationship with them. You don't invite strangers or like random friends over to be like, oh, hey, you know, I know we're not doing anything and, you know, we have this weird sexual vibe between us, but we're just friends and you can bang my sister and stay at my dad's house.
That sounds like a pretty good deal to me.
I honestly think that if we try to ponder these relationships too much, it's going to drive us like some kind of insane because they resist rationality.
I mean, nothing in this movie like gives a shit, so it doesn't matter what happens here. I just, you know, it's the only interesting part of the movie that like, oh, hey, there's like kind of this guy's cheating on his girlfriend.
I mean, I thought the interesting part of the movie was the man-eating leopard, Ronald.
You would think, but it was not.
Yeah. So anyways,
wait, are you going to get to Peggy later?
I was going to just talk about the little girl now.
Okay.
That's Peggy.
Okay, fair enough. Names are stupid. So the little girl, she has a dog named Socrates, who's a little like wiry haired terrier of some description. And he's wandering around the island and you keep wondering if the leopard's going to eat him. And I can't remember if he does or not, but he goes missing. So she makes her mother put on sunscreen or insect repellent so they can go look for him in the middle of the night. I don't think anything actually comes of this, but there is like shots of the leopard and you're like, is the leopard going to eat them? It doesn't. A bunch of more boring like relationship bullshit happens, and it ends up with, I believe, the little girl somehow she gets like trapped on a catwalk on top of a Buddhist temple. They can't go and get her because the leopard's out there. The leopard eats Nancy Kwan. Apologies for that. Well, it doesn't eat her, it just mauls. Yeah,
so they're out there in the middle of the night and
looking for the dog.
And they flash their light because it's the middle of the night on an island. They flash their light on this ziggurat or some shit, and they see a leopard up there. And George is like, run, to Peggy. Peggy runs off, ends up on the catwalk, and then there's like a long drawn out scene of the leopard playing with Georgia and slowly slaying her.
Yeah. But it sounds horrible, and her screams are kind of upsetting, but you actually watch the thing, and it really does look like the leopard just kind of wrestling with a dude in a wig. So
yes. Well, yeah, that yeah. Anytime that the leopard is interacting with somebody, it is clearly not the actress. To give credit to the actress, I think she really does try her best on this at this part. Like, she is really belting out some screams. She's giving it the best possible performance that she could give, given the camera work and all the shittiness that this movie is. All that said, the makeup's horrible. You can't really see what the hell is happening. And
the fact that they can't have the leopard actually touch her really sort of undermines it is eating her thing.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. They have to play a lot of games with the camera to pull that off. And
it keeps cutting to like stock footage of the leopard just like swiping. And then, like, it cuts back to her, and she's like, oh, and, like, her face is covered in blood now. Except it is really bad.
It doesn't look like blood. It might have looked like blood on the original. The transfer makes it kind of look like mud, frankly, because the colors are fucked up, among everything else.
It looks like brown water.
Yeah. So then Donald Pleasance comes back to the house, and he discovers that his daughter has been eaten by a leopard, and he has a fairly amusing freak out because, like, his insane revenge plan of I'm going to hunt this leopard and either become a man again or die has gotten his daughter eaten. And it's like some legit, reasonably good Donald Pleasance acting. And, you know, if this movie has a bright side, which is a big if, you know, it's him. And eventually he's like, okay, fuck it, Maggie Kwan lays into him a whole bunch about how he's really selfish and he's really stupid and this whole thing is his fault, and it's all true. And then
she's got a great point.
Yeah. So then he puts on a dumb hat and goes back out into the jungle to fight the leopard. I have that in my, here's my notes. I thought he was going to do that, but then it cuts to the next morning and apparently he was just in a chair all night. So I don't know what was actually.
No, see, I think what happened was he was like about to leave and then he was like, it's dark. This is a bad decision.
He's about to leave. And then he was like, I'm going to sit down for a quick.
Yeah, I'm
going to
leave
weeks.
Peggy out there and I'll do it in the morning.
Yeah,
that's what I think of it. I don't know.
I understand
for sure,
that motivation.
The cuts there are very strange though, because it really does, it's like it literally is. He walks outside, and then it cuts to him asleep in a chair. So it could also be that he went out and looked for a little bit, and then came back and got tired.
I thought he walked up to the gate and then turned back.
Well, I was on my phone, Raul.
Yeah, I mean, like I wasn't paying super close attention. Let's be realistic. This movie was incredibly boring.
Yeah, I will say that considering that he's just found out that his granddaughter is trapped on the top of a Buddhist temple, there's a surprising lack of urgency here.
Well, he doesn't know where she is.
Okay, that makes it even more urgent, I feel.
Yeah, so I feel like he was just like, I can't do anything, it's dark. And
you know what? I'll find her just as easily sleeping on this chair as if I search the jungle.
He was using his powers of astral projection to scour the jungle for her. And we're idiots for thinking he was just asleep.
Yeah. Absolute fools that we are.
Yeah. All right. So anyways, they go, or he goes back out in the morning and he sees the daughter on top of the ziggurat, and he sees the panther. So he takes a couple of shots at the panther and then realizes he's out of bullets just as it's coming down on him. So he has to retreat again. The daughter is apparently kind of safe because there's this bridge that the panther doesn't want to cross to the part. I think this must be one of the Buddhist temples he was planning on restoring before he got sidetracked by this leopard nonsense. Ross decides... the panther attacks very lackadaisically this time, so Donald Pleasance just kind of walks off and it's fine. And then back at the compound, Ross decides to do something involving going for a swim to a dock, and then once he's at the dock, he'll find a boat and he can go back to the mainland and get a hunting party. So I guess you're right that they don't have a phone. Fair enough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, right. And then they decide, like, well, I know that little girl's out there, but I gotta make some lunch.
Yeah. And First, she's like talking. She's like, the whole point of this part of the movie is that they're in a compound that the Panther get into and the little can't get into, but the little girl's stuck outside. So then there's the scene of Maggie Kwan cooking while, and then the Panther just kind of tries to get in through the window. And I couldn't figure out how to square this with the whole there's a compound it can't get into thing. But she throws some oil on it and it fucks off. And then she has another heart-to-heart with Donald Pleasance. And she has the line, will you tell me something? To which he goes, probably. And there's she, for some reason, asks him what it was like when he realized that the gun was empty. And he monologues about it. And it's some reasonably good, like, Pleasance hamming it up style acting.
Then Ross is fine, but the dialogue is just nothing.
Yeah, but Donald Pleasance is doing his damnedest to sell this shit, and sometimes it gets through.
Honestly, I think most of the acting in this movie is not that bad. I don't think any of the actors put up a particularly bad performance. They have nothing to work with here.
Yeah, like legitimately, I think if you cut out all the scenes of just like the Panther and people wandering around the jungle, you'd probably have like 40 minutes of stuff. And that 40 minutes of stuff might be okay. I don't know. The problem is that every time it does gets anything going, it cuts back to some jungle hijinks, which are boring as shit.
Yeah. Well, and the dialogue is still really terrible in the writing and the camera work. It's all still terrible, but the actors are doing their best.
Yeah. So anyways, Ross discovers that the boat is gone somehow. I guess there was a storm or something, so he can't go get help. So they just sort of hole up in the compound and I guess just accept that the little girl's going to... Well, they're still sort of trying to figure out something to do with the little girl, but they can't.
They say something like, oh, she's safer than all of us.
Which...
I guess that's supposed to make us feel better, even though
she's... Yeah, I don't get why the leopard can't just walk. I mean, cats are so athletic.
It's like a cattle guard, but for leopards. They couldn't not. They could walk across it. They just don't like.
They just don't enjoy it.
The only thing I could think was that it was some kind of religious implication, like
it was
crossing some kind of... Yeah, I don't know.
A leopard is a vampire.
Yeah, something.
I mean, they it's like supernatural, right? In the ancient Buddhist temple, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. That's the only thing I could get. I mean, they didn't go into any kind of details. They didn't explain it. It doesn't really matter, I guess. But they did tell us that he won't cross the bridge for whatever reason.
Yeah, and then we cut back to Bangkok where Ross's, like, Thai sidekick who helps him with the bus tours is like wondering why Ross isn't back for a bus tour, and eventually he will go in and try to rescue them. You know, this is sort of happening in the background, although not by happening in the background, I mean there's a scene of him and then he shows up on the island later. It's not like that whole thing in The Shining or something. At this point in my notes, I started pondering, like, okay, if you had like three reasonably able-bodied adults, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And a young girl's life was on the line, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think you could beat up a panther?
Absolutely.
Bats, for sure. Bats or spears or poison meat. You know, it's like there's so many options.
They don't do anything smart.
Yeah, they literally don't. It's like, okay, we have no bullets because Donald Pleasant somehow purged the island of them. So we have no options for fighting this leopard, except for the one scene where Nancy Kwan, because she's holding a pot of like boiling oil or whatever, throws it at him. But they never, like, if this movie really dug into, like, there are these people, they have no guns, there's maybe a tiger, not a leopard, would be good, because the leopard's pretty small, but there's a big threatening animal on this island. What are they going to do? The little girl's in danger, you know, and it's like them trying various schemes against the leopard or whatever, and, you know, like, improvising weapons, and sometimes maybe they go off a little bit and hurt it a little, but then it strikes back, all that. That could be, like, I'm describing, like, any number of movies, but those are legitimately, like, good, or a good idea for a movie, at least, instead
you're
of
describing,
them just moping.
You're describing a much better movie here. In this movie, they treat the jungle cat as if it's both death and they just don't give a shit about it. Like, they don't seem to prepare, they don't seem to, like, really, even they're like, oh, well, you can't cross the bridge. We're just safe in this house. Like, they don't seem to give a shit about anything that's happening. But at the same time, they don't think that they can win against it. They don't seem to think they can do anything once they don't have bullets. So I don't know.
If the three of them walked in a group, like, a leopard would not attack.
Oh, yeah. Well, a real leopard wouldn't.
This leopard has not attacked anyone who was in a group ever, either.
That's true. But yeah. to be fair, they've never shown anyone in a group and how it would interact. Right, with
yeah.
I mean, having the leopard interact with more than one person is expensive. And this movie, exactly. They spent most of their money getting Donald Pleasance to Thailand, I feel.
How many anyway, people do you think could take a tiger? I'm just curious. I don't think
with,
three people
was,
could take
what,
a tiger.
With their hands?
Yeah.
With hand weapons. How about that?
I legit wonder if the people weren't trained soldiers. I'm not sure that there is a number because, like, once the tiger would definitely maul the hell out of someone.
Just slashy, right? And you're dead.
Yeah. Just... And once that happened, I think the other people would probably break unless they had some kind of training because watching a person get disemboweled by an enormous cat is probably pretty upsetting.
Yeah. If you got a couple stabs in or something like that, you know? I think
they
eventually
had spears. How's that?
Right. If they couldn't run, if it was like a Colosseum style situation, you know, I don't think it would take that many. But if they had a little bit of training, obviously, and they're decently athletic. They're
but on the other hand, in the jungle, like how many people to take a tiger? Probably like 20 or something if they didn't have like guns or spears. How's that?
If they didn't have guns or spear, if they didn't have spears, then fuck it, you're gonna die.
In the jungle, you don't really have space to move.
Right, you're just they're all gonna die if the tiger wants.
Yeah, they're probably all gonna die.
Yeah,
if they have blades, then I don't know.
It seems like it would essentially turn into a war of attrition, kind of versus the tiger. And at a certain point, the tiger would just go fuck it and leave. You know?
Well, I just don't. I don't think the tiger would attack them. So if we're talking about realism. Yeah.
But I mean,
the tiger would
just
never
had a rabies, for example. Like it just had to attack for whatever reason.
I mean, I think that what would happen is the tiger would focus on somebody and it would maul the hell out of them, and then the other people could stab it.
But maybe. I mean, if it was a smart tiger, it'd just dart up, slash you, and dart back. You know?
Well, yeah, but you're talking about like human tactics on a tiger. Like the real tiger engagement strategy would be don't engage five people in a group. We just never do it.
True. Yeah. But this leopard, on the other hand, it appears to be the size of, like, I have a 70-pound dog, and it looks like the leopard's about the same size as him. So I kind of don't understand what the big deal is.
For some of those leopard scenes, I could have sworn it was just a black house cat.
And sometimes it looked like a dog.
It did. It totally did.
I'm not positive that it was always a real leopard. Sometimes it was, and sometimes I think it was a cat, and sometimes I think it was like a big dog.
But the problem is that sounds like it would be kind of entertaining to watch because it's like spot, you know, the different animals. That doesn't happen enough or obviously enough for it to be very funny.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it doesn't.
So anyways, the sidekick shows up on the island and they're like, he's walking towards the compound and they're like, watch out, there's a leopard. And then the dude looks around and goes, huh? And of course the leopard eats him. Well, kills him at least. At which point Ross goes, we've got ourselves a cage here, man, a cage. And they decide to lure the leopard into the compound so that they can go out and get the girl. Donald Pleasance has this weird thing where he's like looking out. They've opened all the doors and he's just looking out at the leopard and monologuing as the leopard approaches him.
And the girl's like, been out there for like 2 to 3 straight days, right? Like,
I think it's just been one day.
It's been one day? What?
Because I think it was just the night before and then this.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'll. All right.
I feel like it has to have been at least like 2 or 3 days because otherwise, like, if one of my coworkers doesn't show up to work, I'm not going to go out to a weird private island unless I like it's been a couple of days and I'm like, well, it's probably more than a hangover, especially considering the Texas Ross lifestyle.
I thought he checked because he was like, oh shit, there was a storm last night. I better go check on him or something.
Maybe. If so, they don't say it. So
yeah, they do not. They don't really say anything.
But not in an interesting, you have to put the pieces for yourself together
for
yourself.
They wanted to kill somebody, and they didn't want to kill one of the main characters.
Yeah.
Maybe Ross wasn't supposed to stay the night.
Maybe not.
He was supposed to be back for a tour the next day, but again, not showing up for work the next day, like one day, is not enough for me to go think of checking on basically anyone.
This guy is a little bit closer than just a regular coworker because they seem to have a rapport.
Like, if my dad didn't answer his phone, it would probably, like, he'd have to be incommunicado for, like, 3 or 4 days before I did anything more than call him.
You know? That's true. And this is pre-cell phone, so.
Yeah. So anyways, they lure the, there's this weird scene where Donald Pleasance is staring down the leopard as it's charging him while he's monologuing about how he's not afraid anymore or whatever. And then he slams the door shut. They lock the leopard in the compound. It escapes almost instantly, and it's unclear why this mattered, but they do run and go get the girl off the catwalk. And it's unclear why they had to do the compound nonsense to do this. And it also is very obvious during these chase scenes that they sped up the film to make everything look faster. So it ends up looking a lot like something out of Benny Hill. Except with a leopard.
I will also say that almost at random parts, the movie will go into slow motion, and it doesn't make it look good. It makes it look worse. But as far as I could tell, it really only does that to pad out the fucking runtime.
Yeah, because it's not like some cool, like, they're reloading, or, oh my god, the leopard's, like, leaping, and how awesome is it that they're sliding underneath? It's just like, no, slow-mo, double speed, whatever.
It's like the same shot of the leopard, but then slow motion. Like, they literally use the same shot of the leopard, like, walking around in the jungle a bunch of times throughout the movie, and sometimes they'll just slow it down for some reason. And this movie's about a buck 20. It's like an hour and 20 minutes, almost on the dot. Hour 23. I honestly think that they had to get above an hour 20 because, I don't know, for whatever reason, and they just were padding it out, get as much stuff as they could in there to make sure that they hit that number. That's my theory.
Oh, also, they can't actually have the panther chase people, of course, so instead they just superimpose, like, semi-transparent, the leopard roaring over them, like, running around.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
They should have done that with Godzilla, you know? Oh no, Godzilla's coming! And just, like, have the camera be from Godzilla's point.
You know, they probably did that for, like, most of them.
No, they had a guy in a suit.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, and true. Also, you can't really show things from Godzilla's perspective too much because you can't see the people, you know?
We could do it from a helicopter.
But no, I mean literally, like, Godzilla's 200 feet tall. It's very hard to see a person from that height. Anyways... And for G fans out there, Godzilla's height, of course, sort of varies from film to film. I am aware. I do think 200 is kind of a fairly standard height for him, though. And anyways, I was speaking extemporaneously, and you need to get off my dick.
Okay, imagine this movie, but instead of a leopard, it was Godzilla.
It would be worse. Shorter.
It was just like, it was just laser the island. It's like, get over in 2 seconds.
Okay, not the new Godzilla. It's like an old Godzilla, and he doesn't have the laser.
No, Godzilla's had the laser since movie one, Ronald.
That's an extra feature is that he doesn't have the laser. But he's smaller. He's not, because he's pretty big in the new ones.
I mean, so you're saying that in, like, the first movie where he's only about the size of a skyscraper?
Yeah.
I still don't think it would last very long, because it does seem like the first time he attacked Donald Pleasance, he would just kill Donald Pleasance.
Wait, so did Donald Pleasance, like, go out there to, like, take on Godzilla himself?
Yeah.
With only a rifle.
With the, yeah.
And he let him out of a skyscraper-sized cage, I guess.
All right, guys, $10,000 to catch Godzilla.
And then everyone is super embarrassed when they actually managed to do it for, like, less than $10,000 worth of equipment.
It was just 10,000 American dollars? That's all it took?
Yeah, like, we really should have done this earlier.
The Japanese have been trying to kill that guy for years. Wow. Three Thai guys with a net, huh? Crazy. Okay,
but maybe Donald Pleasance is Atomic Guy from King of the Monsters, and he can turn into giant person. So think about that.
You know, I love this idea of just Donald Pleasance, not even in a suit, just Donald Pleasance, you know, fighting a man in the Godzilla suit. And let's see. Okay, so famously, when King Kong fought Godzilla in the original Godzilla versus King Kong, they had to give King Kong electricity powers to counterbalance Godzilla's electric breath, right? Atomic breath. So what power are they going to give Donald Pleasance to help him go toe-to-toe with the King of the Monsters?
I'm thinking a giant car.
I'm thinking monologuing.
I like both of these ideas. Rahul, he starts like, he inhales, and then he starts talking about, like, how his daughter was, like, a treasured possession, but he's not sure he ever thought of her as a person, and it emits a sonic shockwave and then locks down Godzilla. But the idea of a guy in a giant car just trying to run over Godzilla while Godzilla, like, runs around and tries to get an angle on it for his atomic breath, also very fun.
I mean, would it be that hard to get an angle on a car if you have a breath
without getting run over?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Plus, I'm picturing this is like a 55 Chrysler. It's just an enormous hunk of steel, like well over 600 feet long.
It's what we call a land boat.
You know, I wanted to buy one of those. I thought it'd be cool for a second. I was looking on Auto Trader for them.
Yeah, it'd be great. I mean, you could run over Godzilla with it.
Gas mileage is a little bit of a concern, but on the other hand, you can't beat the safety of you can take on a kaiju.
So that would be way cooler if they did that.
Obviously, because it's got fucking Godzilla.
Do you have to get rights to make a Godzilla movie?
Yes.
Oh, you do? Damn it.
Well, you can make an offshoot, like, you just don't call it Godzilla.
Godzilla kind of universe.
You know? I mean, famously, there are a bunch of fan films of, like, Godzilla versus the Wolfman and stuff that, like, you know, you can never actually see commercial release.
How does that work? Godzilla versus Wolfman?
He's giant. I mean, there already is a Toho movie called Frankenstein Conquered the World where Frankenstein, like, Nazi scientists are trying to ship the heart of Frankenstein to their allies in Japan. But then they accidentally, on a U-boat, of course. But then I think it accidentally goes under Nagasaki, so it gets irradiated. So it grows into a 200-foot tall Japanese man in kind of Godzilla movie monster makeup. And then he has to fight another monster called Baragon.
Huh. You know, that's not that dissimilar from the premise of one of the Friday the 13th movies, where Jason's heart survives and goes to a hospital, and then one of the doctors eats it and becomes the new Jason.
Yeah. Right. It's also fairly similar to the other Jason movie where he fights a telekinetic girl, because they're both monsters fighting, you see.
That's true. Yeah. Actually, I haven't seen that one.
Neither have I, but I want to, because that's one of the few Friday the 13th movies where the premise actually interests me.
Huh. Maybe we'll watch that on the pod.
Yeah. So
I'm
anyways,
sure it's better than this.
Yeah, it has to be. So anyways, they run to the dock because the Panther's kind of chasing them. Donald Pleasance does something or other with a can of fuel that causes the dock to explode. And I thought it blew up the Panther, but then later it will sort of show the Panther.
Yeah, he knocked it down and he got a flare gun out of the boat.
Yeah.
But it doesn't actually kill the Panther. And then there are a series of extended shots where it will like superimpose Donald Pleasance's face over the Panther and kind of transition one from the other, but it will freeze halfway through so that it looks like there's sort of a Panther man with a mustache on your screen, which is interesting.
Yeah, that last part was just so ridiculous. I was like, "This, you're just forcing this thing." There's like so little between the Panther and... Yeah, there's nothing, and they're just, like, trying to make it a thing. It's not going to be a thing, guys. Like,
stop trying to make this a thing.
Donald Pleasance doesn't have a psychic link with that cat. Shut the fuck up. So none of us are recommending this movie, right?
No.
Raul?
No, unless you want to have a lot of fun.
This is easily the worst movie we've watched on this for this podcast.
Yeah, this
easily
is the worst thing we've done for the podcast.
You know,
the only thing that
I think Ronald and Lawrence just shat on this movie so much that when I got my expectations were so low. No, I'm just saying that my expectations were so low that it actually exceeded them. I'm not saying it's a good movie. It's actually horrible, but
I don't think that there's any way that this movie could have exceeded my expectations. I don't think I could possibly set my expectations that low.
Right, but I saw it after you said that.
I went in actually slightly hopeful because I like Donald Pleasance and the idea of him fighting a cat is pretty interesting, and then they don't actually fight the fucking cat, so I was angry.
Are there any movies like from back in the day where they actually were able to make animals work? Because that's pretty hard. It's a pretty hard problem, right?
There's a movie called Day of the Animals where... Who's the guy from Airplane?
Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah, where Leslie Nielsen... Like, all the animals on Earth decide to just kill the people, and he ends up stranded in the wilderness, and it's pretty good. And then there's a movie called The Pack where Joan Don Baker gets menaced by a large group of feral dogs that's pretty good. And then, I mean, there's a fair amount of movies where the animal is smaller, so it's easier to show it interacting with people. You know, slugs, frogs, stuff like that.
Slugs?
Yeah, nice. The bat killer slugs. Okay. Anyways. So none of us are really recommending this, aside from Rahul, who's just doing it to fuck with us, realistically. But let's go around and say one nice thing about the movie, so we're not just shitting on it nonstop. Ronald, you hated the movie first, so you get to go first. Let's try not to repeat each other, so he'll have the easiest time.
Okay, one nice thing about this movie. Oh, God. Well, so one thing, I already said this. This won't really count. The best part about this movie is that it's only an hour and 20 minutes. And that's for two reasons. Not just because it's terrible and I want it at the end. That is one of them. The other reason is I kind of miss the era where this an hour 20 was a normal runtime for a movie. I feel like almost all movies are 2 hours now. We're getting a little bit now down to like an hour to 90 minutes or sub 100. But rarely, I don't remember the last time I watched a movie that was an hour 20, maybe a kid's movie or something. So I did like that. And I will say that I think Donald Pleasance put up a pretty good performance in this movie. I think that in general, the acting was pretty good. And I think that he really worked to try to make this movie work. I think the director did not put in nearly as much of an effort as he did. So that's my answer.
And for mine, so I like Donald Pleasance. I think he's a welcome thing in most movies. And I generally, you know, if you're like, hey, Donald Pleasance is in this movie, it goes up a bit in my estimation. And the makers of this movie found a way to give Donald Pleasance what I hope was a very nice vacation in Thailand and to get some money for going on that vacation. So that's my bright side. They probably made Donald Pleasance happy when they made this movie. Raul, you're the one who fucking wants to marry this fucking movie.
I was just, oh my God. I'm not saying it's good. It probably is the worst movie we've seen, but it's just that, you know, like you guys pegged my expectations so low that there's this phenomenon, right? Emotionally, where your expectations like play into it, your experience of a thing. And I don't know. Anyway, I'm struggling with
a you single gave him like, one this thing movie, you liked.
This movie is not that bad, but also I cannot think of a single positive thing in this movie.
Okay, I feel like the Amazon thumbnail for this had like a little cat with like big teeth, and it looked kind of like a magic card to me. I liked that.
So your plus side to this is the lying shitty poster for it on Amazon.
I'm afraid so. That's all I got. I was like, oh, it reminds me of magic cards.
Okay, so you guys want to do a would you rather or head out?
I'm done for a would you rather.
Sure.
Okay, so unfortunately I'm looking at it and I appear to have done most of these already. But what's your perfect day? Raul, you go first.
My perfect day. This is a would you rather?
It's just they're always fun getting to know you questions, man.
Oh, okay. My perfect day is well, I wake up like 11 or noon.
Jesus.
Roll out of bed. Strap my diaper on.
Brush my teeth with a bottle of Jack.
Feeling like as shit.
Feeling like P. Diddy. Natch.
Yeah, and then, you know, I just sort of putter around. Later.
So most of your perfect day is you basically don't exist.
Your perfect day is half Kesha, half incontinence.
I'm asleep and I don't do anything.
Hey, look, when you're asleep, you're awake, dude. We've covered this. Oh, okay. That's the time when you're awake.
What? Okay, bye. Ronald, what's yours? Matrix?
My perfect day.
It's not the premise of the Matrix. God damn it.
My perfect day. Oh, I know what my perfect day is. I wake up. I have a nice little bungalow, maybe out in nature, you know. It's a nice warm day outside. I get out, you know, I go for a little stroll. I collect a wild jungle cat that I put out a $10,000 bounty for, and then I release it with only a gun with 9 bullets between me and it, and I hunt it. That's my perfect day.
That sounds sweet.
Yeah, I mean, if only somebody filmed my life.
I will show up unannounced at your place, willing to do that.
Camera.
But be aware, I only do shaky cam and slow-mo, if that's a problem.
Oh, baby, we're going to the first Bourne movie.
The problem is that Raul is going to spend so much time menacing you and knocking you over with the camera that it's going to detract a bit from the cat hiding.
Yeah, it's going to be hard.
Just like, dude, stop. Trying to fight this panther over here.
Yeah, so I've actually already answered this, albeit on a bone or a sideshow. So I'll give a very brief one, and then I'm going to answer a different question, if that's okay with you guys.
Okay.
Well, actually, nah, fuck it. I'm not going to answer a different one. You can suffer through me talking twice, listener. Whatever. Who cares? Anyways, so my perfect day, I get up at 3 in the morning. No fucking around. I finally do it. I finally get myself up that early. I go out. I walk 3 miles. I go home. I use the restroom. I get my water pack ready. Then I go out and I run a half marathon. Then I come with my dog, of course. Then I come home and I do another three. I head back out and do another 3.5 miles. I get home again. I make myself some coffee. I order some takeout, probably Greek. And then I spend the rest of the day just feeling incredibly tired and fucked up and weird and drinking a bunch of coffee and drinking and water, probably not as much water as I should, and watching like weird TV shows and maybe playing World of Warcraft, because at that point I'll be so tired that I won't feel like I'm wasting my life playing a video game I've been playing for like, Christ, 20 years at this point or something stupid. And then I go to bed pretty early. And yeah, that's it.
I have a question regarding your perfect day, if I may.
Yeah.
What is the purpose of the first 3 mile walk?
The purpose is that I want to have done 20 miles over the course of the day. I run my half marathons 13.5 miles because I'm worried that my GPS watch might be off by as much as 0.2%, and 13.5 is 1.02 of a half marathon. And then to get up to the rest of the 20, I need 3 miles and 3.5 miles. And I space them out that way to try to minimize the chances of my bowels surprising me while I'm out running the half marathon, because that is truly horrible. Oh, and I should mention that I will be running on the Bosque Trail, which is one of the most beautiful trails in the entire world. It runs through the lovely Bosque Woods and behind the Botanical Gardens, Tingley Beach, and the zoo, which means that quite often you see elephants on it.
So if you're one of Lawrence's many stalkers, you can find him there.
Yeah, good luck. I mean, frankly, you know, if my stalker is willing to get up that early, they can have whatever they're trying to get from me.
Why don't you wear a diaper for your poopy issues?
I don't want to get too gross. I've thought about it, and one of the problems is that if fecal matter pressed against your skin for a very long time is intensely irritating and chafing, so I don't think a diaper would actually help me.
You should carry like
a big... be vile.
Like a
yeah, it would also be disgusting. That is another concern.
Ronald just had to make it real. Why don't you carry like a bucket and a bidet with you?
What? How would I get the water to make the bidet function?
It's called weight a water bottle?
Weight is a serious issue. And also, I feel like I couldn't find a spot to use that because, like, you piss against a tree, everyone kind of looks another way. You pull down your pants and take a full-on dump next to a hiking trail, someone's going to say something.
Yeah, they're going to be like, nice one.
Yeah, sweet. Dude.
Sweet bucket, bro.
Wow, did you bring that from home? Is that a bidet? Such luxury. Such European elegance. Ah, Christ.
Man, I wish I had your day. I just wore a diaper and did nothing.
Wait, I just realized. So Raul, he's like, why don't you wear a diaper? Because he's tried to drag me down into the diaper lifestyle dirt with him.
Me.
I think it's some kind of kink for him.
What if you wore a diaper? And what if you sent me those diapers afterwards? I could dispose of them for you.
Oh, God. This is going to be sick.
That is fucking disgusting.
Like, gagging.
Easily one of the most vile things we've talked about. My God.
Gross.
But if
I
could sell used diapers for money, I would totally do it.
No one wants your used diapers.
Why not?
You know, Raul, I don't want to, again, not too gross, but I bet if you got on OnlyFans and just sold videos of yourself shitting, you would make some amount of money. Maybe not much, but some.
I don't think I would. No one wants to see like a guy do that.
It is a very specific kink. I don't know, man. Yeah. I mean, I have to imagine that some women are into it.
But they have so many options with pooping.
So many like OnlyFans shitting options.
Yeah, like why are they going to me? Like, what do I offer? You know?
I think you'd have to really play up the Indian angle.
You have a pretty good bod.
There are a billion of us, though.
Yeah, but a lot of them don't have internet and therefore can't have OnlyFans. Plus, yeah, I imagine the fairly conservative nature of Indian culture means that a lot of them don't really want to do
Potentially a opening for.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, like, we're not talking about just a regular OnlyFans.
You know, I'm not tooting my own horn here, but I do have a pretty good squat.
You know?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's like half of it, right?
Yeah. And an irregular bowel.
Yeah. Anyways, let's go ahead and do recommendations and cautions. What do you guys say?
That sounds good. I can start us off.
Yeah, sure. So my recommendation, I was going to recommend the Bosque Trail, but I think I've already talked about what an incredible fucking trail it is. One more thing about it. Tingley Beach has several outhouses that they apparently never lock, although they do occasionally run out of toilet paper, so you'd do well to bring your own. But still, it's just a top-notch trail. Anyways, so instead I'm going to recommend a film called Don't Breathe 2. It is, of course, a sequel to Don't Breathe, which is a sort of horror thriller about people hope invading a blind man and the blind man turning out to be far more of a threat and far more of a scumbag than they'd thought. This one strangely pulls a Terminator 2 to Don't Breathe's Terminator, where the blind guy who does so many horrible things in the first one is the hero. And he's like adopted a young girl and is, you know, trying to raise her and keep her safe and everything. And then the world intrudes and there's a bunch of like really hard edged and gritty action. And I thought it did a pretty good job of sort of like exploring, you know, the edges and the advantages and disadvantages he has when he, you know, with being blind. It's a lot of him cutting the lights and stuff. But they find interesting variations on that. And the people who abduct the girl are scummy in a way that was so over the top that I like admired the film's audacity for trying it. Like, you think I'm implying that they're pedophiles. They're actually something worse and weirder. It's so strange. And then at the very end, the movie does a surprisingly good like job of trying to like reconcile with the fact that the guy had did such horrible things in the first one. Like, for a long time, you think that they're just going to sort of ignore it, but they kind of confront it in the end, and he's, you know, is this guy even worth saving? Has the good he's done over the course of this movie, like, canceled out the evil he did in the first one? It's pretty interesting, but mostly it's just, like, a pretty hard-edged, like, horror action movie where it becomes horror just by being so hard-edged, and I'd say check it out. I actually think I might have liked it better than the first Don't Breathe. Yeah. And then for my caution, a novel called Sword Heart by T.E. Kingfisher, maybe T.S. Kingfisher. I've recommended like 4 books by her and still haven't gotten the fucking name right. It's just another one of her fantasy books where like there's a girl who's kind of awkward or has something wrong with her and thinks no one could like her and is a little like heavy set. She always describes him as a little heavy set. And then she encounters a heavily muscled guy and they go on an adventure and fall in love. This one, the twist is that the heavily muscled guy is stuck in an enchanted sword and is like hundreds of years old, but he only like comes out when someone draws the sword, which I thought would be enough of a twist to sell the fact that this is like the 4th fantasy book she's written with this basic plot, but it wasn't, and I got bored with it and moved on. I guess if you liked your other stuff and didn't get bored with it, you might like this too, but I think that the teeth are starting, or it's getting like long in the teeth, and I didn't like it, so I gave up on it about a third of the way through. Anyways, fascinating, right? Anyways, Ronald?
Yeah, sure. Okay, my recommendation this week is a movie called Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh, shit.
Starring Michelle Yeoh. It was directed by Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert, or affectionately known as the Daniels. It was quite excellent. I just saw it last weekend. It's a movie about this woman who's kind of going through a midlife crisis and trying to figure out if what she did in life was the right thing. And she's invaded by her husband from an alternate dimension or an alternate reality where the timeline is different. And she's informed that she's basically the chosen version of herself for various reasons, and she's needed to save like the multiverse from this evil being that's basically trying to destroy everything in throughout all timelines. It's really interesting. It is a wild movie. There's a lot going on, but it sounds confused. Like when I saw the preview, I thought it would be very confusing and like really abstract. It wasn't. It was pretty easy to follow, and it was just a good movie. It was very fun. It was its own thing. It wasn't like a new IP or anything like that. It was just like a really enjoyable sub 2 hour movie. So highly recommend that. And my caution this week, I watched a mid-2010s movie, I think it's from 2015, called Black Hat, starring Chris Hemsworth, directed by somewhat legendary director Michael Mann, who's known for a lot of action movies, Last of the Mohicans, Heat, some other stuff like that. And this movie was okay. It wasn't terrible. I mean, we just watched Night Creature, which really makes me appreciate how good movies are, because you can see how fucking terrible they could be. This was like pretty entertaining for what it was. It's a movie about a hacker who basically is in jail, and they take him out to help with this like inner country investigation into somebody who is digitally attacking China. And it's a cooperation with the US and China into like trying to find out who this guy is, because he's like trying to crash the markets maybe, or maybe take down like a nuclear power plant. It's kind of confusing, but there's a lot going on in it. It's kind of boring. I don't think Chris Hemsworth puts in his best performance. They did the bad Chris Hemsworth thing where they tried to make him play a serious character, where like he clearly excels at playing like in a more funny role. This movie is not very fun. It's not really funny. It takes itself pretty seriously. There's some decent action scenes in it though. So it depends. I was interested in this movie because movies like this aren't really made anymore. It's like a political action thriller with a decent sized budget. And like basically all of these big budget movies these days are like giant IPs, which I'm not going to comment on, you know, whether that's good or bad. That's up to you. But it's from a different era, I would say. The 90s were full of movies like this, and they just don't really make them anymore. So I was really interested to watch it. I don't think that this one is particularly great, but it's not the worst caution I would throw out. And that's it for me.
Wait, is he shirtless a lot?
I don't think he was shirtless all that often.
Jesus fucking Christ, these people.
He does have sex. So
okay, well,
at least there's some sex in the movie.
Yeah. I'm putting him on the big board of people who've had sex in the movies.
Yep. You know, for how much he is in the Marvel movies, I don't think he's ever had sex in those movies.
I think
hasn't he been with Jane, or
has they showed that though?
No, they haven't. I don't think
they implied it.
I think literally everyone in the Marvel universe but Tony Stark is a virgin.
Yeah. They had a really weird sex scene in Eternals that was like the like most, I don't know, vanilla, like corporate sex scene there.
Anodyne sex scene. Yeah. What was it? I don't remember. Oh, in Eternals, I don't remember. Yes. Okay, I never watched it.
Terrible movie. Please do not watch that. Also, caution against Eternals. Garbage. Not as bad as this movie, Night Creature, which I highly caution against. Don't go near it.
You know, watch
5 minutes.
But the dollars to madness is probably in Night Creature's favor.
Maybe.
Anyways, say what you will about Eternal or Night Creature, it's not 3 hours long.
Yes, that is true. Thank God.
Anyways, it's not Raul, part of a bigger universe, right? So, you know,
yeah, it's part of the human universe.
Okay. In the real world. Yeah, it's part of the animal universe.
It's part of the Animorphs universe. That's why the leopard couldn't be on screen very often. You could only stay in those forms for 2 hours and you get stuck.
Oh my God. I love
that'd
that.
That'd be a great twist.
He just turns into Cassie at the end or something. Man, I remember a lot more about Animorphs than I thought I would, although less than I wish I did. It's one of those series where I keep thinking, like, Dude, I could probably get the whole thing on eBay for like $200. Is there any chance it holds up? Probably not, right?
I reread it like 10 years ago, and it's still a kid's series, but it has surprisingly adult themes. There's a few books that are just like totally off subject, but I thought for the most part, the series held up pretty well.
Well, if I ever get $200 to burn. Anyways, Raul, let's do some recommendations and cautions for me. Okay. So we can all...
I have a actual recommendation this time. I like watching stand-up. Ronnie Chang's Speakeasy on Netflix, I think, is fantastic. His prior special, what was it? Something about Asian eats America or destroys America or something. Also fantastic. But in this one, he talks specifically about like how online critics talk shit about stuff. And this is going back to something Ron was saying. Talk shit about stuff, but they've never like put in effort to making something of their own. So I'm going to try to be less critical of like, should I watch? Because that's true, right? Like, it is so much more work to even put a movie like Night Creature together than it is to review it. So, you know, maybe I'm being a little too harsh on this shit, even though it was terrible. But you know what I'm saying, right? Like, anything I did would probably be worse.
Yeah, I mean, you would probably get eaten by the leopard.
Fuck.
Although, on the other hand, if we filmed you getting eaten by the leopard, it would probably end up with a more entertaining movie than Night Creature. So.
I think it's worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? After my run tomorrow, meet me at the zoo. I can already be by there. I can get that timing out. So I'm just right behind the zoo. And we'll feed you to a leopard and I'll film it.
Are there leopards at the zoo?
There's some kind of big cats. I remember because a while, like 20 years ago, one of them bit a dude's fingers off. Because he thought it was his friend and stuck his fingers between the bars.
Yeah, that seems to happen. Like, who are these people? I remember there was one where some guy like tried to pet a lion and it literally bit his hand off. And then he fucking hit it. He put his stump in his pocket, is bleeding down his pants, and he's probably in shock, dude.
But also, I mean, so embarrassed because your best friend in the whole world, Mr. Lion. It turns out it was one of those awful, he's my best friend, but I'm not his best friend situations. Yeah. Those are always the worst.
Yeah, it is pretty embarrassing.
That was the real shock, not losing.
So he could, and also he'd broken zoo rules. They take that shit pretty serious. He can't just go tell them that the lion bit his hand off and he needs medical attention in the next 5 minutes or he is going to die.
I don't have many goals in life, but one of mine is that even if I went to the zoo and I got my hand bit off, I hope that despite being in shock, I would ask for medical assistance.
So what are your goals in life? Is to have your hand be bitten off by a large cat, but have the wherewithal to ask someone for help afterwards.
Yes. I mean, just imagine, like, the emotional self-control, you know? Like, despite the embarrassment, your face is flushed, you know? You're just like, oh, shit. This, like, presumably cute zoo person, you know, whatever they are, is, like, you're going to embarrass yourself in front of her. It's just, like, this whole thing. Like, people are like...
That Tinder describes a person.
Yeah, well, I think he was looking for the word zookeeper, but couldn't find it. So he came up with zoo tender might tend to fire.
I thought you were talking about the app.
Did you only hear like one out of every two words I was saying? Because they're all very important.
I spaced out for a while there.
So you thought that Rahul was going to get his hand bitten off by a lion and then go on Tinder and be embarrassed?
Well, I thought he was saying that you brought a date and he didn't want to show him. I don't know.
So if you somehow had a Tinder profile that was like, I have been bitten by a lion, I am going to die, please match with me so that I may have one last kiss before I pass. Do you think people would match with you?
No, I don't think so. It's only bots on Tinder.
Let's try it.
I'm on the bot hell of Tinder, or was like 3 years
Everyone
ago.
Everyone's just trying to sell you stuff.
It's just fucking chatbots. Exactly. That
they're like, meet me on Kick.
Yeah, like weird shit. Or like, join my fucking, want to be Snapchat friends, you know, just to get follower counts up for shit. And it's like, my God.
You know what? You need to go on the new big thing, Grindr.
Oh, Dude, wouldn't it be sad if I went on Grindr and it was just bots again? Just like, man, I cannot get a break.
The horniest possible audience, and still it's just bots.
Relegated to bot hell.
What if those were all just real people?
Yeah. What if you had so many women who wanted to have sex with you, but because you wouldn't follow them on Instagram or Kick or whatever, you missed out.
Yeah.
You idiots.
I'm not I don't throw my hope into such things.
Well, you'll never know now, will you?
Yeah.
No, I guess I won't.
Out on a million opportunities.
Shit.
Nora, I want to revisit something you said about critics have never tried to make anything in their life. That sounds like somebody who's been criticized and is a poor loser. So,
that's bullshit. Yeah, fair enough.
And also, I have made several movies when I was in elementary and middle school. And so I'm free to criticize anything because my weird thing where I like killed my dad by playing Britney Spears at him, just the same as a million-dollar blockbuster.
Exactly.
I think so.
Okay, yeah. I have never made a movie. I'm never claiming that whenever I criticize something. It's still using my time to watch something, and I want to criticize whether or not it's worth your time or it was worth at least my time to watch it or to consume it.
You know,
you're right. I just think there's a balance there, you know? Like, I mean, I'm not saying for you either. Like, I'm just talking about me.
Oh, yeah. I know that. I'm not addressing your point. I'm addressing his point of, like, I hear this a lot. Like, oh, critics, like, if you think it's so bad, why don't you try making something? It's like, I'm not going out to make a better movie. That's not why I'm saying that this movie is shit. This is, Night Creature was horrible, but I still couldn't make anything that good. But, like, I still don't want to watch it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's still a piece of shit. Like,
yeah, it's weird. There's, like, an asymmetry there, right? It's, like, easier to rate something than it is to make it.
Of course it is, yeah.
Yeah, but...
But, I mean, it also has, like, a million more audience members than it does cast.
Yeah, that's true. There's also an asymmetry of waste of time.
And, also, I want to point out the brutal irony of Ronald complaining about movies wasting his time when we have spent an hour and 36 minutes at this point talking mostly about, Jesus Christ, a little bit about a movie with a panther and a lot about, like, Tinder and shit.
Well, that wasn't wasting my time. That was, interesting. The most time wasted we had in this podcast was when we had to talk about the plot of the movie.
Yeah. Anyways, Raul, you want to plug something and we get out of here?
Yeah, I'd like to plug an
operation. Wait, you never had a caution.
Oh, you know, I don't have any caution for this past whatever time period, Fortnite week.
Okay, I'm going to steal Raul's caution and caution you guys against watching Night Creature.
I don't know. I feel like you can't do that.
Shut the fuck up, nerd.
I feel like that's not, like, the rules.
You know what?
Like,
Raul, until you can run a half marathon, you're not allowed to criticize me.
You haven't
put in the effort.
Fuck. God damn it, you're right. I hate it. You know, maybe in my 40s I'll get to a half marathon if I'm not dead by then.
The key is to just not run it very fast.
Yo, that's marathon pace, unless you're Eliud Kipchoge or any of his contemporaries.
Anyway, anyways, plug.
I want to plug something called Operation G-Sting. It was a FBI investigation into bribes and some other boring shit. None of it matters except for the name, which is amazing. Operation G-Sting? Wow.
Did any of the FBI agents, like, have to go undercover with Ladies of the Night?
I mean, it was called that because... It was a guy who was lobbying to try to get... It was strip club owners trying to lobby to get no-touch laws removed from their clubs. So that's... Oh, shit! As part of the investigation, actors George Clooney, Robert De Niro, and Joe Pesci were involved. And then Wikipedia helpfully notes, citation needed. Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, I'm going to need some evidence on that one. Joe Pesci? And,
yeah.
When was this?
2003. So, yeah. Oh, and both of the strip clubs involved also have their own Wikipedia pages.
Huh.
Guys, we should make a strip club that's like bad movie themed.
So wait, the FBI spent a bunch of time to make sure that the strip clubs didn't have touching involved?
No, they were paying off lawmakers.
Yeah.
They're bribing them.
To try to get the laws.
Giving them lap dances?
No, money. It's apparently they bribed one guy $400,000, which, I mean, I don't pretend to know how much a lap dance costs, but that seems like a lot of lap dances.
Like, I think $20? I think yeah. That'd be fair for a lap dance.
I mean, it depends on if you make it rain or not.
Yeah. And also, if you're in the champagne room, ?
Oh, right.
Is there a champagne room?
I don't know. I only know about that one because of the Chris Rock bit.
I have no clue. I've never been.
And I haven't even heard the Chris Rock bit. I read it summarized in an AV Club article.
The Man. Champagne room is when you want to take it to the next level.
Like but there's no. Were?
Yes, there's no sex in the champagne room, though. I know that much. They try to tell you there's sex in the champagne room. There's no sex in the champagne room.
Well, they try to heavily imply it. They definitely don't say it.
Because that would be prostitution.
Right.
Wait, is it prostitution if you say you're going to fuck someone for money, then take their money and don't fuck them?
I don't know.
Well, it's illegal to hire a prostitute, right?
Yeah. So, Raul?
Isn't Raul? That a crime? Yeah.
Tell you what, I'm sorry, but we are going to have to turn you out a little bit for this one.
Okay.
Down Central. Find someone who wants to fuck you, take their money, and then don't fuck them.
Dude, I'm pretty sure I'm just going to get stabbed. I'm like, just walking down Central is going to get me stabbed. Like, I'm not even going to get to the part where, like, I ask for sex or money or whatever. I'm just going to get stabbed. Like, some guy's just going to be walking down the street, and, like, I'll make eye contact a little wrong, and next thing you know, Rahul's dead, you know? Like, done.
I'm interested in this because I feel like of the all of us, I spent the most time kind of walking around in the Central area, and I'm by far the least scared of it. Although on the other hand, I did have that guy threaten me with a sickle, and it didn't like faze me at all. That was weird.
I think you're the scary element of Central.
I do keep stabbing people. Well, the sickle thing happened on Wells Park, which is a fairly, I mean, it's not the gnarliest neighborhood, but it's kind of gnarly, you know?
Well, I'm talking about like the Central and Tramway area. It's like so ghetto.
Really? Central and Tramway?
Yeah, dude. Like just the other day, there was like
by
someone.
The movie theater. Yeah. And the Smiths.
There's like so many shootings around there.
Really?
I feel like.
That's like the, what, isn't Four Hills like one of the nicest neighborhoods in Albuquerque?
I feel like Central and San Mateo, that's where, that's like,
oh yeah, that's where it's at too.
Or like Central near the base, I think is the scary part.
It's like between San Mateo and the base.
Yeah.
Actually Central and Wyoming is pretty bad. Yeah.
There was a thing where like some dude, he was biking up Central and he stabbed like 7 people like just a few weeks ago.
He's doing drive-by stabbings on his bike?
I think that's what it was. Let me look it up. Bike.
Dude, I imagine he was like the fucking Liger Zero in Zoids, and he just like had the blade sticking off the side and just...
Yeah, just like that. 100%.
Biking at full speed and cutting through people.
He was suspected of stabbing 11 people as he rode around Central.
I feel like suspected is doing some pretty heavy lifting in that sense. Like, innocent until proven guilty and all that, but I mean, if you're on a bike with a bloody knife and 11 people got stabbed by a guy on a bike, that's not a common
crime. Four of us should not laugh. Okay. An officer saw a suspect who fit the description and saw him toss something into a trash can. Search warrant was issued, and knife was found.
Yeah. I mean,
okay, well, that could have been a plant. Maybe the cops did it.
Okay, it's either the cops or this
guy, though.
Yeah, cops
have bikes.
Cops like stabbing. Well, no, actually, you know what? I'm thinking it through. Cops tend to be more beating and blunt force trauma than stabbing.
Mm,
anyways.
Don't forget the shooting.
Oh, yeah.
How could you forget the shooting?
Yeah, it's their favorite
thing.
It's just
a really fast blunt force trauma.
It's a cavitation trauma, actually.
Yeah. Anyways. From all of us at Bad Time Radio, don't worship Satan. It's bad for you.
If you'd like to recommend an episode of Old Time Radio for us to listen to, send us a question for the mailbag, or a pedantic correction, you can reach us at radiobadtime@gmail.com. Our theme music is Finger in the Bottle by We Ashore Dedicated off their album No Ski Here Okie Sap. Thanks so much for listening.
Well, I was gonna gather it.